Thank you for downloading from Richmond First United Methodist. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The young woman's name was Mary. The angel spoke to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was troubled with his words, but the angel said,
"Be not afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end."
We've throughout the season of Advent this year, we've had the theme, Baby Changes Everything. And we've talked about, you know, Advent being a season of expectation as we move towards Christmas, and some of the same cycles that we move through when we know we're getting ready to have our child. I don't know, for those of you who are parents, I don't know how many of you had the experience we had. We spent hours and hours and hours trying to pick out the names for our children. It just seemed like something that you felt you absolutely had to get right. And so we talked, and back in our day, they'd started doing ultrasounds, but you couldn't always really count on them yet. So we always had to have a name in reserve for each of the possible genders of the child. So we'd go round and round and round about it. One of the things, you know, Kim and I both come from wonderful, loving families, and we would have loved to honor members of those families, but we weren't sure exactly how many kids we were going to have and what genders they were going to, and so we were afraid to name our first one after my father or her father, in case we never had to follow up in order to name one after the other father. Now, it turns out we needn't have worried. But we kept kind of putting that decision off until we got to number four, and then we just gave him all the names. So Michael Donald William Nettleton is named after everyone we could think of. We named the first one Daniel. Nice biblical name. No family precedent, or so I thought. After the announcements went out, my great-grandmother called. She was in tears. It meant so much to me that you named your first son after your great-grandpa. Well, I had no idea we had. And she meant Otis. We all called him Otis. Even the kids called him Otis, because by rights, he wasn't my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was a firefighter that had died in the line of duty, and Otis was her second husband. So we all just called him Otis. Well, his name was Daniel Otis Richmond. And so we inadvertently named our first child after my great-great-grandfather. We had a name all picked out for number three son, Nathaniel Wesley. When he was born, Kim looked at him and said, "That doesn't look like a Nathaniel." Now, I don't know what she meant by that necessarily. But when you have just spent the last so many hours in the room with your wife giving birth to a child, you do not argue over things like this. She thought he looked like a Christopher, and so he looks like a Christopher to me. But we do think about it. We do spend time on it because we do understand. I mean, sometimes that's the last piece of mystery. I've talked to couples. We know the gender of the child. We know the due date. We even, lots of times these days, we're not guessing at that. We know exactly the day the child's going to be delivered. But oftentimes a couple will hold back that one last mystery. What will you call him? The scripture that's part of the cantata that was just read here a minute ago from the Gospel of Luke understands how important names are. It gives us the name of the angel that came. Now, there's lots of angels in the Bible. But how many of them have names? As far as I know, only two, and this is one of them. He gave us the name of the angel. He gave us the name of the woman. That didn't always happen in the biblical stories. As a matter of fact, a few chapters later, when Luke is giving us the entire genealogy of Jesus, there's not one woman in the whole story, going all the way back to Adam, mind you. He names every father and never a mother until he gets down to the birth of Jesus. And then within the story, we are told not once, not twice, but in the biblical account at least, three different times, and you shall call him. And we're given three different titles or names for this little baby that's born to us at Christmas time. First of all, the angel says, you're going to call him, he'll be called the Son of God. Now that's become a theological statement. It's in all of the creeds now, God's only begotten Son. So it's this deep theological statement we make about Christians, about the relationship between Jesus and God. But in the day in which this was first spoken, the phrase Son of God was actually relatively common already, and it was always talking about the king. The kings or emperors of all of the early empires all made the same, you know, whether it was Pharaoh or the king of Assyria or the king of Babylon, or Josephus tells us even Herod, the king of the Jews, fell prey to his own hubris and at one point claimed to be a son of God. Caesar, all of the Caesars claimed it, one after another after another. And so this title, Son of God, was almost a synonym for saying he's going to be a king. We've sung it twice already this morning, the choir has. And I've counted ahead. They're not done. They're going to sing it a number of more times. We call him king, and yet we kind of watered that down into sort of an honorific, a nice thing to say about Jesus. And we've forgotten that, you know, back in that time, to call somebody your king meant you were going to do what that person said. This person had an uncontested call on your life and your behavior and what you do. You'll be called the Son of the Most High, Gabriel said. Sounds like another way of saying the same thing, and it is, but there were so many sons of gods, you understand, in Jesus' time, that maybe Gabriel felt like he needed to get a little bit more specific. Son of the Most High God, not a Son of God or a Son of a God, but the Son of the God. Not a king, but the King of all kings is who he will be called. It's also a covenant term, this particular, the Hebrew behind this particular name of God, the Most High. It goes all the way back to Abraham and the promises that God made to Abraham. It's a reminder to us that Jesus is the Son of the God who keeps His covenants, who keeps His promises, who keeps His watch over His people. But probably the name that tells us the most about this little baby is the one that was the most humble. You'll be called the Son of God, who'll be called the Son of the Most High, and you shall call Him Jesus. For He will deliver His people from sin, Jesus. And probably, for Mary and Joseph, it was pronounced Joshua. If that's a surprise to you, that's the Hebrew behind our word Jesus. They knew the story of Joshua. You guys know the story of Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua was the one who led the people into the Promised Land, finally, after having been kept out of the promised land for 40 years. Joshua is the one who takes them across the Jordan River to that place that God had promised to them. You know, it probably looked like we're never going to make it. This should have been a simple journey of 2 or 3 weeks, and already generation has come and gone, and I don't think we're ever going to make it. And now there is one who led them across the river. Joshua's name itself means God will deliver. In Jesus' time, the people probably thought they weren't going to make it. I mean, they had returned to the land that God had promised to Abraham. They were there physically, and yet they had no control over their own destiny in that place. The king was a puppet king, not even a Jew. And everyone knew that really he was only doing what Caesar said from Rome. It had been one empire after another ruling over the people who were supposed to be gods. It probably looked like they were never going to make it. Never going to have a king to call their own, a kingdom to call their own. And then this baby was born, and you shall call him Jesus. Because God delivers. God comes through. God does not disappoint. He grew up to be a man, began to preach and heal and cast out demons, call followers, work miracles. They followed him around the Sea of Galilee and the surrounding regions for several years. And then when the time came near that he knew he was going to die, he pulled them aside for one last sort of lesson, just he and his disciples in private before the madness of Passover begins. He took them to a place called Caesarea Philippi, and he gathered them there. And he asked this question: who do you say I am? Because it really doesn't matter how many names the angels give him. What matters is who do we call him? Are we prepared to say, yes, this is the King? Not a King, not a voice, but the King, the voice. Sometimes it seems like we're not going to make it, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes the walls of life kind of close in and it's hard to see the light at the other end, and you just don't know if there's going to be anything beyond this catastrophe or this season or this. He shall be called the Son of God. He shall be called the Son of the Most High. And he shall be called Jesus, our God delivers. Our God comes through. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, our God's people said.
To hear more sermons, find out more about us, and see what's going on in our community, visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org. This has been Richmond First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.